showtime! Welcome back to the Wrestling Ramble, and you guys may or may not have seen our live stream, which 2.7 thousand of you did, which was bloody crazy. Bob, did you enjoy the live stream?
I did enjoy it when it worked. It was great. We kind of got a flow towards the end of the night, and apologies, we've not seen you since then.
If we just don't acknowledge it, it's not real.
Ah, right, okay.
Stephen Richards.
Right, cool.
Do you get that reference?
Stevie Richards. I don't get that reference.
Oh, no! Right, well, here we go, kicking off the Wrestling Ramble.
I'm going to be educated again.
Any record of Chris Benoit's achievements throughout the WWE was scrubbed and replaced with the name Stephen Richards. So he was world champ.
Right. I've gotcha.
Right, so... If you don't want to make light of something, just Stevie Richards.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
I don't know why they chose him.
I'm getting confused because I'm like, he's a genuine wrestler.
And he's sitting there going, I'll take it. he's put Hulk Hogan out of the Hall of Fame. Any chance you could put the old Stephen Richards in there as well? Hall of Famer, champ. That time I wrestled Andre the Giant.
So he's the only guy to benefit from horrible events in the WWE.
Stevie Richards, I'll take it. And I like Stevie Richards, by the way. He's fucking brilliant. Yeah. Speaking of things that are not Stevie Richards. welcome back to the Wrestling Ramble. Today we're going to talk about what happened this week in wrestling.
Oh, last 2 weeks, really.
To be honest, that week was kind of a sleeper anyway. I felt like SmackDown was a bit of a sleeper as well, but we'll see how we get to that. You guys joined us for the Wrestling Ramble live Royal Rumble reaction show, and it was bloody, we had a great time, but there was a bit of technical issues, but there'll be more on that to come. You can also check out the stuff we've done previously. If you guys want to go ahead and select a pay-per-view that you'd love us to cover, I think it's getting time for us to cover another pay-per-view. So if you guys don't go ahead and choose one for us, we'll maybe come up with one and put it out to a vote or something.
We can both suggest one each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds cool.
So if there's anybody listening to us that enjoys listening to us and wants to see us cover a full show, go ahead and do that. But getting on with the show, before I say that, make sure you subscribe, like us, pardon me. You can also donate a coffee tip to us in the description if you want to. If you don't want to, cool. Fine. I got my coffee anyway. But if you're listening to this, make sure you check us out on YouTube where you can see our beautiful faces.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Exactly. But on with the show, Todd. I'm proper excited to talk about Raw this week, are you?
I wouldn't say proper excited, but a lot of stuff's going... don't get me wrong, by WWE standard, it's going down because we're in WrestleMania season. Royal Rumble, of course, being the gun that fires off... Basically, you know, it's WrestleMania season when they put the big fucking sign in the arena. Even when there's nobody there, the big sign, so they can all point at it and say, we're going to WrestleMania. For those of you who didn't watch the Rumble, or maybe still haven't watched it, Edge won it, which I think was actually quite a good choice. Mm-hmm. I think it's a decision everybody's quite happy with. Not one that what we expected at the time. We were all pretty much set on Seth Rollins winning it as the odds were coming in.
All right.
But it was really pleasant,
Did the bookmakers even have Edge as the top front runner?
No, it was never front runner. I think when we spoke in the last show, I can't remember if it was 40. I think he was 6-1, because I think it was Daniel Bryan, Keith Lee, then it was Edge. I mean, Bianca Belair came in. She was a shoe-in for the women's, and she won it. Maybe they'd read something online, and maybe the WWE had made a last-minute change. There's nothing being said like that I know of.
Unprecedented times cause for unprecedented measures. Even the bookies got it wrong. One thing I will say about Edge winning that, by the way, and here's one of the proper four reasons, one of the things that I'm totally all for Edge winning. So Edge has come back to kind of see out his career on his terms, right? He never lost a championship, wants to be in the run for that again, and everybody's rooting for him.
Yes.
What better time to give that opportunity to someone like Edge than when there's no audience. Edge is already over, right? We don't need another Drew McIntyre scenario where the audience are not there to be there for him, because that moment should be big. Why not give it to someone like Edge who can do that, because everybody's watching to see him win anyway?
I'd never thought about that. Yeah, but you're totally right. Usually that position's given to somebody when they're trying to make them, a la Drew McIntyre last year. Mm-hmm. And it's been done before with Batista going years back. And I was going to say Randy Orton, but I don't know if that's correct. But you're right. It's usually the position where they're going to be crowning a new champion. Mm-hmm. But I've never thought about that, but you're absolutely spot on.
So why not? Like, well, this year Edge is back, and there's no audience. We know that the pop would have been massive anyway.
Yeah, he's a draw.
Right, so it's already there. So he doesn't need to prove that. So let's see his story out at a time where it's probably not the best thing to get another Drew McIntyre through the door and have no audience there to capture it. Do you know what I think? Timing is really good for that.
It makes sense. I mean, WrestleMania is going to... We all know there's always going to be eyes on WrestleMania, but if Edge is main eventing it, or one of the main events, it's going to bring... I don't have anything to back this up, but it's easily going to bring thousands more eyes than what usually would be there, because people who watched SmackDown and Raw around about 2010s, maybe even earlier, will be going, "What, Edge is wrestling WrestleMania this year like last year? That's it. Let's get back."
Yeah.
Because I watch it for Edge. People will watch it for, like, Undertaker used to keep people coming back every year. Not this year, though.
But you know who is back? Shane O'Mac. Here comes the money.
I was quite disappointed when I seen he wasn't in the Elimination Chamber batch. I was hoping that I was going to get an announcement that I'm going to be in the match. And other people will probably go, fuck off, Todd.
There must be a reason for him showing up to kind of co-host that announcement with Adam Pearce. And I think it may be, maybe, just based on how he was going, you know, good job, man, good job. It's like he was almost kind of passing how happy he was on to Adam Pearce, giving him the whole, you know, good job. What if it's like, you know what, good job, but you wouldn't do as good job as me. Well, let's fight it out, Adam Pearce.
To be fair, I mean, they are pushing Adam. I mean, they've not maybe not pushing him wrestler-wise, but he's not been off telly for weeks now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Adam Pearce is in the plans for something. We know he is a wrestler, so he can obviously go. So I would not be surprised to see him in a match at WrestleMania. I mean, even on, we'll speak about this week's SmackDown, but he's been matched with the main event guys for weeks now. He's practically, even though it's been other people feuding with Roman Reigns, he's been the guy that seems like he's in the feud with them. It's really strange.
Yeah, I totally get
plans for him.
Yeah, I think there is, and I think the whole test in the water with him versus Roman Reigns is maybe a little bit of foreshadowing. But yeah, so Shane came back, handed the torch over to Adam Pearce, who announced the Elimination Chamber match, which kind of flurries up the whole who's Edge going to choose. Will Drew still be the champ? Who knows? I think the Money in the Bank briefcase is going to come into play either Elimination Chamber or at WrestleMania. It has to.
Absolutely. It's going to come in at some point. I mean, they've been teasing it too much. I personally, I'll give my reasons why I think Drew's going to retain. I don't know if we want to do that now or during the Raw part.
Go for it.
I've got a theory. Sheamus, spoiler alert if you've not seen it, has turned heel on Drew, which was always going to happen. It was inevitable. Because those guys are two best pals, so they're having the time of their lives right now. I think Drew will retain at Elimination Chamber, because I felt if he wasn't, the best way to turn Sheamus heel at Elimination Chamber would have been for him to turn on Drew in said chamber to cost him the title. That would be my theory on it. It could be totally wrong, but that's why I think Drew will retain. I think Drew will go into WrestleMania as a champion this year.
Yeah, I think they could have taken the title from him with Goldberg if they'd had no plans on him having the championship.
There's that as well. Yeah, absolutely. That's a really strange match in hindsight now.
By the way, we called. We called that. Go back and check our predictions. We said that would happen.
I technically called Edge as a Rumble winner as well.
Exactly.
Technically.
Yeah, you had it. You had it there.
It was on the predictions, but yeah.
So while watching Raw this week, I was watching the Retribution match. Retribution versus the New Day. Mm. And one thing I thought was, Retribution needs some wins. They came in kind of... The way they came in, they were almost laughed at because it was the whole Nexus thing. Oh, and they kind of laughed at because they all come in with paper plates as masks and stupid Mortal Kombat kind of gear. Then Mustafa Ali came in, and I think he brought some sort of legitimacy. There's in him, by the way. I really like.
No,
like
absolutely. Him. I agree.
But I think the more they keep getting slapped about and beat on Raw.
It's difficult because with factions, you kind of feel like they've got to be dominant to start with. But, I mean, we've seen with factions before where they've maybe been dominant, but then they've not been, they've kind of faded away. I mean, look at the Dark Order in AEW. They're kind of almost getting over with their absurdness.
They are so over now, and I love it.
but it's not what it's like the whole New Day thing. We spoke about that previously. It's like, it's not over for what they intended.
But that's beautiful, though, because I think all the best talent come in like that. Look at the ringmaster became Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? And he never intended to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin 316 said I didn't whoop go, right? This stuff all came naturally, and I think the Dark Order are being themselves now that they know what they're supposed to be, and they know what works. But we'll get to them, right? Even just saying the Dark Order gives
makes
me
you laugh,
nice.
I know.
But that is the best part about wrestling, is just when you know, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, Retribution, like you say, if they're going for a dominant faction, if you want to make them some sort of credible threat, you're right, they need wins, they need to be beating guys down, but it might just be one of these things where they're just letting it hang and just seeing, let's just see how this goes. Yeah. It might be one of those things.
Yeah, someone on Twitter said to Mustafa Ali, you know, you don't get any chances. When WWE are you going to start giving you chances? And he was like, it's took them 5 years to pronounce my name properly. What do you think?
Well, that's going to either get him over or get him buried. I don't know.
Do you know, I love Twitter for so many different things.
Did you see the thing about Drew McIntyre? Like when he was like a picture of him and the WrestleMania sign was covering his shorts that looked like he was bollock naked behind.
No, I've not seen that.
Like, and he posted a Simpsons gif from one of the episodes. It was like, I could have swear I was wearing clothes or something.
That's class.
It's really funny. But he had to delete that tweet. It got deleted. So a lot of people were thinking that he's maybe been... I just don't like wrestlers on Twitter. I think it ruins... Don't get me wrong, not that there's much of an illusion. I don't want to sound all Jim Cornette on you, but I'm not a big fan of wrestlers on Twitter. That being said, that was funny.
I understand that. Someone that I'm actually not a big fan of, really, is this Bianca Belair. I'm not feeling it yet.
I don't think it's for us to feel. I think it's totally aimed, it's a whole Bailey thing again, but for a 2021 youngsters generation. It's for
all this talking while she's like way over here.
Absolutely. It's for the whole total Bellas crowd. Like, I remember,
she reminds me of Goro from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, the four-armed woman because the big hair and all.
I don't like the way she whips her hair. It's not honestly.
I whip my hair back and forth.
Right, cool, calm it.
It's almost like I don't want to criticize it because I can see the woman's got talent and everything like that. It's not her booking herself this way. She's being booked towards kids of this generation, and who am I to shit on this generation's, you know, female wrestler?
I get you.
I personally feel that, you know, she's obviously going to be. I can't see her being the same level as your Charlottes, your Baileys, your Becky Lynch's anytime soon. But that's just me. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. But that's what it looks like. I don't know how. I know you said you don't feel her. Why do you not quite dig it?
Nah, she just, for me, she just kind of came out of nowhere, right?
And some people do that.
It's the same kind of. Oh, this is my dream. Oh.
But that's the way she's been booked, man. It's a total baby face. But that, I don't think that ever gets over with at least smart marks wrestling fans. But see, for kids, see, for the younger kids, they love it.
I could see her being like, she could be a part of the New Day. If they had a female.
Yes, that would be cool.
But where she's at right now,
not in the women's division. I mean, it's different levels, isn't it? But I mean, it tells you everything, right? I was watching clips from like the Raw 25th anniversary show because I was listening to Something to Wrestle With podcast, and they were talking about the Brother Love pop, and I went and watched that back, and it is fantastic.
That was a massive pop.
Like, he got the biggest pop of the night.
I know.
And see, when the crowds come back in, I hope that they utilise him at some point, because he will.
Yeah.
He will get absolutely. Maybe in him in Royal Rumble next year or something, would be class. Yeah, but yeah. I watched it. There was a part where they brought out all the female legends. So they had people like Jacqueline and stuff like that. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, Jacqueline and Trish Stratus comes out. But you know what really annoyed me? Arguably the biggest pop was for two of the most overrated, did nothing in WWE, the Bellas. They got like the biggest pop. And it was legitimate because you could tell that all these females in the crowd were like, oh my God, there's the fucking people we watch in that
she
reality show.
She died in the womb! Even the way she...
I don't like them at all. Don't get me wrong. They've got... I know, it's terrible. Name me...
One of the best matches. The ones that weren't in.
I can't think of anything. You know, the only thing I think of ever happened in the ring, and John Cena will not like me for bringing this up, was when John Cena proposed to one of them at WrestleMania. I can't remember which one it was.
One of them.
Well, one of them's with him and one of them's Daniel Bryan. Oh, yeah. It was Waddy's.
I think, do you know what? I don't think the Bellas could hang because they were the last kind of divas. And since then,
they were in the purple butterfly belt generation.
Since then, the women's generation has gone like this. I don't think they could hang. Did you know that Nikki Bella wanted to come back and work in creative?
You know what? Maybe she's got a mind for the business. You know,
actually. Do you know? I'm sitting here laughing with zero experience in WWE. She's a Hall of Famer. So.
To be fair, there's some strange people they've had in creative. I mean, I don't know if you watched the shooting interviews with Freddie Prinze Jr. And I can't.
Yeah, mate, I knew this long ago that he was there.
Well, we knew he was there, but he's of course not with the company anymore. So he had some really like interesting stuff. He had heat with Cena and all that, and it was like fucking heat with John Cena. That's like unheard of. But he had really good shit. But so there you go. They've had plenty of people in the creative before who have had next to no wrestling experience. So I guess possible, I suppose. Who's in the creative right now, other than what we know, like Vince,
Road Dogg,
Michael Hayes,
Fit Finlay,
Triple H. Well, I don't know if Triple H is really on it. He's NXT. Him and Sean.
There are a lot of writers. X-Pac, Sean Waltman. He swears by them and says they're actually good. But a lot of the issues with the creative, apparently, is the fact that they're not all in a perfect cadence. And that's where plot holes kind of come around. But WWE creative's not been amazing for a long time anyway. You do find it's the same drabble a lot of the time. It's the same kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's the same format. It's almost like a stencil, and they just switch them around.
The when was the last time you remember something happening in WWE that genuinely made you go, wow, well, this is different? I mean, I've got something in my head. I think it sounds quite obvious, but I'm trying to think if it's been... Yeah, for me, it's that. Yeah. That was, at the time, that was like, I don't think we've seen anything like this before. A guy winning the title and then leaving with it. They botched it, but
yeah, egos. One thing that I think is really cool after watching Raw this week is, have you noticed that Ric Flair has filled out yet again? He doesn't look all old and like, do you know what, that time when he was sick, he went all proper, like,
aye, because he was always dead,
right? He looks very, he looks like he's been eaten, right?
I have myself a sausage supper, motherfucker. Can I have some extra sauce for the champion?
I just love the idea of Ric Flair standing in Tony's fish and chip bar.
He walks in less.
Single fish, Tony.
It's Nick.
He's one of those guys that used to walk up to Tony and ask him what to put on before he ordered.
Exactly. He walk up like that. He's like, would you like
any rib?
He goes, Mr. Flair, would you like any pickled eggs with that? I'll have two woo 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 woo!
Extra sauce on this. Sure, but...
for the champion.
So, do you know, I actually really enjoyed seeing him, and I'm so for him being back full time in WWE, especially. See, I actually howled, right? So there's a segment where it comes out with Lacey, and then Charlotte comes down, and she's like, you know, stop trying to take my dad, and she's like, you know, maybe we could be a tag team, and his with you, a tag team, that's it. A tag team, that's it. I pissed myself. I was like, Ric Flair is just phenomenal, and I love him. Seeing him. I love
absolutely
seeing
adore him.
He, do you know, see, when I think about Ric Flair, I think about his full career. Start of his career, right? And he's just like, wow, this awe of the champion. The older he gets, the more meme of himself he becomes, especially for me, and I love it.
It all began from, remember WrestleMania 21, where they had like the film, where they did all the whole film recreations. You see Triple H's Braveheart one, where he's like on the horse and Ric Flair's just like strutting next to the horse, like going up. I think that's where the origins there, because he's just totally... Mm-hmm. Yes. Triple H is trying to keep a straight face and be serious, and he's just like,
he becomes a meme of himself. I love Ric Flair. I think him partnering with anybody's great. Lacey Evans, yep, I can see Lacey Evans winning the championship from Asuka, who, by the way, Asuka herself,
you love Asuka.
Have you seen her promos?
you sent me, you actually deliberately sent me one of her promos. I'd seen it, but
it's like, what are you going to do if Alexa Bliss starts doing all her crazy dark stuff? I don't know. What's that? Israeli? Charlotte was laughing. She's like, what do you think about this? Yeah, we would have won if it wasn't for Charlotte, Dad, and that woman. Charlotte's like...
she's trying to keep a straight face.
That woman.
I bet you she's some laugh.
She seems like a fucking party animal, man. But you know what? A legitimate badass party animal.
Oh, absolutely. I think she really is quite... it'd be really good when the crowds get back in, because I think she'll be massively over.
People talk about how great Charlotte is and how she's on top in the Queen. Asuka's just as good.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels right there of the women's division.
Yeah, they're certainly the top two women at the minute. You know what? You know, I'm a big Charlotte mark. But Asuka's certainly... Absolutely, she's up there.
I'm all Rick.
Put it this way, right? Asuka is 100 times better than AEW Women's Champion right now. And AEW would love... That's kind of what they're aiming for. They want their own Asuka.
Oh, they want the Japanese, man. They've literally riddled the...
It's a Kenny Omega thing.
Do you know who I really like? In fact, well, wait till we get to AEW. But, sure. Also, another thing about that whole situation with the Lacey Evans versus Charlotte thing, because that's going to be, it's going to be the whole Dawn Marie thing. I don't think they'll kill off the old Nature Boy.
No chance.
But it's the same kind of, it's in the same vein. They're definitely going for the you're taking my dad away from me kind of thing, right? Charlotte's still acting like a heel. I can't root for her. I actually enjoy Lacey and Rick more than I enjoy Charlotte. Charlotte feels like to me that she's the heel.
She's turning like almost like she's turning heel on her dad. It's strange. I think it's maybe just because of the intensity she's shown, but she's still very much the babyface. But she's just going to be one of these.
She's not a babyface. She's a heel.
She's much better as a heel. She's so much better booked as a heel. You see that at WrestleMania. Like, I hate WrestleMania 35, but like seeing her when she got the helicopter entrance and stuff like that, it's just over elaborate, and it plays on the Flair gimmick, though, right? Oh. It's not like Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes legitimately books that shit himself. And karma came for Cody Rhodes this week.
we'll get to that. So I think Charlotte needs to kind of make us like her a little bit more. Otherwise, we're gonna root for Lacey Evans, who I from day dot have thought she's something. I really like her.
Oh no, she's somebody they've had plans for. But like you say, at the minute, this is the golden generation of women's wrestling. See, in like 10, 15 years' time, they'll be pointing back at these, like, I mean, I know you've got Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus, she's viewed as like the female legend. I don't want to say she's the Stone Cold, it's not even comparable there, but you know, when you look back at female wrestlers, her and Lita are probably like the top two from back in the day, given that China's no here. Aye, exactly. But those are the two that are still, you'd expect the biggest pops for. in 10 years' time, we're looking at Charlotte, we're looking at Asuka, we're looking at Becky Lynch, we're looking at, who am I missing here? Bayley. Bayley and Sasha Banks to a lesser extent, but Bayley, I like Bayley. Mm-hmm. She's Bayley's the shit. Great.
Bayley is great. Another person who I think will be great, however, is quite old already in his career, Damian Priest. He has a presence.
Yeah, he's getting pushed. He's made the jump up now from NXT. We'll wait and see. I do
feel that he'll get the Bobby Roode treatment. You know, comes in quite strong and then ends up teaming with Dolph Ziggler.
You can't get carried away with it because see NXT guys coming up now. I mean, see with Bobby Roode when he first came up, I thought myself, my God, they've got a guy here. They've got somebody. He's got the look. He's got the presence. He's got the work rate. He had the theme tune. He was over, botched it. Nakamura, same thing again.
I know. And by the way, we'll get to this, but Kenta has shown up in AEW, and you remember he was Hideo Itami?
Yeah.
All you need to do is take the reins off of him, and he will go. Yes. It's very clear now that WWE fucked him, because one match I see with him in AEW compared to his whole work in WWE, I'm like, yes, this guy. But we'll get to that.
He's fucking W though.
No, but I think anywhere Kenta goes that has TV that does not put restraints on him and try and make him into something else, we will see.
Like, man, yeah, absolutely, I mean, I agree. I agree.
The Hurt Business. They are a stable, mate. I think we've seen the best of Bobby Lashley, and I did think to myself today when I was watching right, and Bobby Lashley's all angry. I'm like, you look like a baby who's trying to take a shit.
He's in his 40s, man. He's in his 40s. It's crazy.
He's got a baby face. He looks like a baby, right? I'm like, grow a beard or something. Grow a big beard.
Sorry, see, for me, I mean, Bobby Lashley's probably doing his best work right now, but for me, it's MVP. It's having the experienced heads like MVP and Shelton Benjamin in there that's making that thrive. I think that's one of them. It's one that snuck up on me as well, because yet again, I had... When they first did that, I was like, oh, that's cool. CMVP, I suppose. But I didn't have any care for it. But you're right, they're starting to make their presence felt.
Yeah. And you start to feel like, hey, wait a minute. It's quite hard to beat them one way or another.
That's it. Look at the Spirit Squad, right? People mention the Spirit Squad now. It's like a joke. But it's like, hey, man, they used to beat the fucking living shit out of Shawn Michaels and Triple H every week, almost.
and not because
they're better or anything like that. It's because there's more of them. It's the whole thing. Like, you get it with kids at school. We know a guy in particular was always like, I'd fight them one by one. I'd beat them one by one. But the problem is they're never... One by one, they're all about five or six of them, and that's what wrestling factions should be.
Yeah.
It should be numbers. See if it was just one a one on match. See if it was fair, you'd kick their arse. But it's never fair. And
we obviously saw Riddle versus Keith Lee, and this is where Bobby Lashley. I like Riddle. I like Matt Riddle, and I think he's got a potential. I really don't know why they're going to do the yeah, dude, man, pizza. I don't know why they're doing that.
Wrestling in his bare feet.
Yeah, and kicking his flip-flops off. Now, I get it to an extent, but are they just trying to appeal to the stoners?
No, it's just
they're literally just going to have RVD buying his merch.
No, I mean, I think it's... I'm gonna agree with you. I think it is appealing to that. It's a new generation. It's a whole Matthew McConaughey... You know, I get in the ring, I beat your ass, but we gotta do it respectfully, and it's gonna be a good thing. Maybe we'll have a beer and hang out afterwards.
I think
kick Riddle, your ass, but we'd be
what
good
I like
friends.
About Matt Riddle is you clearly see his MMA background, and I think with people like that, I think you should kind of play to those strengths, you know. But hey, he's got a lot of charisma and a lot of character, and I think. He just plays on kind of like stupid kind of thing, and that's the only thing I'd like to see him kind of dial that away and get aggressive.
You know what? But I think what he's got really backing from. We spoke about it as well. You think you maybe spoke about it live stream? He is fearless behind the scenes as well, which will do him wonders with guys like Vince, because Vince loves a whole. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'll take fucking
what?
End his career.
You fucking what? Exactly. I heard a story about Vince like stepping on Curtis Axel's toes at a promo class, and Curtis Axel was just like saying nothing, and Vince was like, I've been standing on your toes deliberately for like the last 15 minutes, are you not going to tell me to fuck off?
God,
And he was like,
"God damn it, pal."
And I thought, exactly, exactly. And Chris Jericho, I think it was maybe Chris Jericho, maybe pulled up Kofi Kingston one time and he says, "Oh, you get your fucking ass back in there and tell Vince he's a fucking piece of shit. Because if you don't, Vince will never see you as legit in his eyes." So that's what Riddle's got going from. I think Riddle is the type of guy that would say, "Hey, Vince, go fuck yourself."
And you know, I think we've seen that in the Drew McIntyre 24 documentary. Where he can, or was it when he was talking on Stone Cold's podcast where he was doing a promo and then he went like that to throw a bottle at Vince and Vince shit himself. Yes. And he's just like, ha ha ha. He kind of was like fearless to do that to Vince.
Yeah.
I think Vince has always kind of had Drew as a prize. I just think he wanted to get better at him. And as we see now, you know, it was always destined to be. So.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you need to fall to build yourself back up. I don't know. I can't think of a good inspiring quote here, but things always work the way they should.
You get that right. Sometimes you've got to fall to be able to get back up. Speaking of someone that fell to get back up and got the most over she ever did was my hole! that was
me. Something. I almost forgot about it.
she went to, Nia Jax went to...
A meme was born.
Leg drop. Do you know what? I don't think she'll... I think this is it for her. I think this is... She should run with it. And I know that they did on SmackDown. They actually ran with it on SmackDown. And they kind of recreated it, but she didn't shout, "My hole!" Now, I wonder, do you think that was intentional or do you think she was just selling?
You know, I've gone back and forth over it a little bit, right? And part of me, even though I hope I'm wrong... thinks that maybe it was planned because she goes, "My butt," and then she's almost like, she thinks, "What would be funnier than that? My hole." If it was legit, I think it would be even funnier than what it is.
What I think's amazing is this was Lana's like retribution, and no one's talking about Lana. Right? And if anything, I think, right, see Nia Jax. "And I'm a monster, because my song's like this, you know I'm a monster." Stop pretending to be a monster. Give us this Nia Jax, the one that falls and says stupid stuff, right? God damn it! Ha, ha, ha!
Right? It's not exactly going to get her over, but all right.
Mate, being a monster isn't getting her over, right? None of this stuff is getting her over, right? The only time I've ever been interested in looking up Nia Jax is when she hurt her hole, right? I think they need to run with it. She could sell a lot of t-shirts.
See, the thing is, right, she has opened a massive can of worms now for herself. Because see, if that was not intentional, because see, from now on, right, see whenever Kurt Angle walks into a room, you suck. She's going to get, My hole. Exactly. Whether she likes it or not.
I know.
That will define her career. Doesn't matter what she does from here on, she will be the My Hole woman.
And it's mad that's a thing, that in wrestling...
With that caption face.
Have you seen half of the movie posters?
You sent me one. I was actually looking up the My Hole memes right there.
Some really good ones.
That's it. That's her defined. That's her career defined with two words.
My Hole.
It's a good way to just take distraction off her throwing potatoes, to be honest.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a clever move, maybe.
I think that that if they run with it, she'll be more over than what she's trying to be without it.
Well, she certainly had no... She was a bit... had a lot of go away heat, I think, from a lot of people. But
if you went to a WWE event and you saw a T-shirt that said My Hole 316, you buying it?
Some people would. Absolutely.
Right, I would. I'd buy a Nia Jax T-shirt.
It's like sometimes the most, like, the things you don't expect to get you over, get you over. Xavier Woods knows all about that. Exactly. If you watch the clips after that all happened, there's a segment, I think you told me about it, where the Kofi Kingston and Big E are just kind of looking at him like that. The crowd are going mental. It's crazy.
What have you been doing?
He's like that.
And then he says... Or the time that the Usos...
Get X-rated like a boy.
Oh, Xavier Woods! He's like...
Oh.
think that's sometimes the best way to handle these situations and these scenarios. One thing I will say is I don't like how everybody kind of painted out Paige to be anything less than a woman because of that. The guys got high-fived and she got ridiculed. I think that is a fucking, that's a joke because of that. They were all partaking in it. Consenting adults.
There was nothing wrong with it, man. Nobody did anything wrong. It was just unfortunate that such a thing gets leaked.
Exactly.
It's a horrible thing for those involved. And to be fair, exactly, the amount of shit that Paige has had to put up with.
Absolutely.
Getting beat off Alberto Del Rio and all, and have that injuries. And leave the woman alone.
Exactly. And I think, at the end of the day, it's her, what she chooses to do with her body is her choice.
It doesn't,
doesn't make her this or that. And there was more than just her involved. So why should she take the heat while the guys get all the praise? I think that's bullshit. So I would defend that if that was the case. But Paige, hi Paige, she's kind of fell off the side there, right?
Well, she's got work, you know. She's working. She's still on the payroll, which is good to them. So
yeah, I suppose. So is there anything else for you to kind of elaborate on Raw? Or will we close?
Well, we know that Raw, Drew is going to defend inside the Elimination Chamber. I must admit, I've always been a big fan of Elimination Chamber matches. I know there's only so much you can do in them, but it's just that whole. I remember when you'll remember even probably clearly me when the structure first came in. It was a big fucking deal.
Do you know
what Eric Bischoff? It was Bischoff, wasn't it? I remember that because Bischoff he put it over, man, before the match had even held.
To the point, I always thought, oh, that was Bischoff's creation, right?
In kayfabe, it probably was.
It was. This was back when there was still two brands and Stephanie McMahon had SmackDown and he had Raw. And you remember who won the first Elimination Chamber?
Oh, of course I do. With the heartbreak.
Nice heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels. I also won the first Hell in a Cell. I'm the first Royal Rumble from number one. That was me. I beat Undertaker in Hell in a Cell, even though that's his match. Elimination Chamber first, I did that. I'm also the first person to wrestle at SummerSlam in jeans and win. So the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels. I will give you a show.
Exactly.
Like nobody else can. Top that.
I like Elimination Chamber. It's a good concept. Do you know, I always think that there's still many concepts to be explored that haven't been, and we could maybe come up with a show that could be you and I coming up with our own matches and seeing how well that would take.
To be fair, see any sort of gimmick match, they do work. I mean, so for example, if you said to me, that was another thing, Drew McIntyre tweet, you had to delete a tweet. It was announced that Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton will be wrestling, and he's like, for the first time ever in 2021.
Yeah, I know. Did that have to get deleted? That's all.
I had to delete that.
For the first time ever in 2021.
Fuck's sake.
Oh, WWE, go home, you're drunk.
So, I mean, if you say, oh, Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton, you're going to go, I've seen that before. And they go, butch, no hell, no cell. And you go, you can't, as a wrestling fan, you always kind of go, well, maybe I'll watch it then.
Deal, I'll take it.
We like, because it doesn't feel like we get a lot of gimmick matches anymore. Maybe I could be totally wrong. They'll say, well, Todd, you've got this. But I don't like how they always do the pay-per-views, like pay-per-views, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I'd rather they got rid of that and just kind of Judgment Day, Hell in a Cell.
Could you imagine if they got like Elimination Chamber, right? Let's say it wasn't called Elimination Chamber. Let's say this was still like the good old days where this was called Vengeance. I know they're probably, NXT's probably just had Vengeance, and maybe that's why in my head. But, you know, say this was Judgment Day coming up, right? And if they said the Sunday before it, it's like, oh, guys, do you know what match you're going to be in? You're going to be in an Elimination Chamber match. You'd be like, oh, yeah, fuck it. Rather than, oh, it's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view coming up, so that'll be same with Money in the Bank, same way. The Money in the Bank one probably is the only one I could get away with, but Hell in a Cell and all that, and TLC, and it's just...
Every match will be a TLC match. Apart from years and years, you can get disqualified.
I could see where it could be a good idea, but it just... It's like everything was better back in the old days.
Well... Suppose
it wasn't, but we like to think it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was heyday. So, are you ready to go to the All Elite Scooby-Doo.
Well, I need to say about All Elite Wrestling, because I feel like recent weeks I've been absolutely burying it, but I honestly am rooting for AEW still. I'm rooting for them every week. I want them to be good. They have been good before, and I want them to be good again. But it's so hit and miss.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I kicked off AEW this week, and I was like, all right, cool. Here's AEW, and then Darby Allin's gonna go up against. And I was like,
everybody's favorite Charlie Connector.
Darby Allin's winning regardless of who he's going against. Well, beat Brian Cage, so he'll beat everybody else, right?
He's gonna be champion at Revolution with Sting, and that's, to be honest, I'm actually looking forward to their match, because I'm like, let's see how Sting holds up. It's a tag team match, so it's gonna cover him. But
yeah, and they're using weapons again. He'll be swinging, you know.
Damn right, that's fine. Well, with Sting, give him all the bells and whistles you need. Yeah, that's what type of wrestler he is at this point. So
totally agree, but I'm still not sold on Darby Allin. I still watch him and go, no, I could legitimately kick your ass. Climb into that ring and kick your ass.
He's over though. See, with the younger
ones. Is he though? Because the audience are not there. I'd be interested to see.
From what I understand, I mean, him and Orange Cassidy are the ones who the kids now all dress up as. To be fair, I would dress up as Orange Cassidy for Halloween. I think that guy's...
This is no hard.
I know, I like it. It's cool. I must admit, I do like Orange Cassidy, but Darby Allin, I'm with you. I think he's a good wrestler, but he just does too much, and I don't buy him beating some of the guys he's beat, like you say. Brian Cage, no fucking way. Should be. No. Brian Cage should have ate him.
He did! He did!
I know, but...
Darby Allin kicked out. No. He picked this boy up. He picked this wee toddler up. Threw him out of the ring through a table. Remember that used to end matches?
Yes, no anymore.
Remember people would be like, oh, that's it, he's done, and the stretcher would come out. Not Darby Allin, who's built like a child.
Doesn't end you during matches, it only ends you during segments.
No.
Weapons are more deadly during wrestling segments, honestly, not wrestling matches. They have bigger, higher powers. Also, I know this is really random, but I just want to point out, right, can we just point out that a couple of weeks ago, Alexa Bliss, right, was getting attacked off women and nobody could beat her because all the women were not strong enough, but one RKO was enough to knock her out. Mm. Basically saying that any offense from a woman doesn't work, but an offense from a man will kill a woman.
I mean, you're not wrong. At least it's more realistic.
Just wrestling logic. I just thought about that. I was like, just because a man hits you doesn't mean it's any stronger than a woman hitting you, I suppose. But
probably is.
I don't know. It depends who it comes from, I suppose. But in wrestling logic...
Let's look at it this way, right? If my sister punches my wife in the face and I punch my wife in the face, who do you think is going to do more damage?
Well, that's your sister. I know you and I know your sister, so I know that that's probably going to be yourself in this case. But,
but my female sister...
But let's say Nia Jax punches your wife.
She'd miss and punch my child. So,
all right, fair enough.
I still think I could throw a better punch than Nia Jax. I would put money on it.
Telling you, see if we go to these wrestling cons.
I'm going to be like, right, Nia.
Right, show your fist. Right.
There's a punching bag over there. You know the wee thing you put the coin in and you punch.
And it tells you your score.
Right, let's settle this.
Or you could just do the Uncle Fester thing when you get electrocuted.
Who can hold on the longest? But we'll see. Matt Hardy has now transitioned once again. He is now the million-dollar man. I don't know. I've kind of seen this part of him before when he was on the Indies, before he was with any kind of company. He was doing his YouTube show, which he's done for years, by the way.
Yeah.
He done that long before people like Zack Ryder were using it. Matt Hardy brand, that's his YouTube. And I've watched it for absolute years. And he used to do the whole I've got money thing. Now I suppose he has money, right? But he's doing the whole I've got money and he's going to use his money to almost build a faction. See where it goes, right? I don't discount Matt Hardy. He's talented and he can get over. So
he can get other people over. I like Matt Hardy, always have, but I feel that in AEW his weakness has been not being able to stick to a gimmick. He's been blown hot and cold. The gimmick was deliberately set up at one point to blow hot and cold. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was funny enough when he was going through the whole multiple changes, like you put him underwater and then he comes in a different gimmick. I like that type of stuff, even though people like Jim Cornette hate it. It's goofy, it's silly, but you're right. To be fair, he's not really kind of recovered from the wars with Sammy Guevara, where everyone just should keep those guys apart because they were just about killing each other.
Speaking of Sammy Guevara, have you heard about the backstage heat on him?
No, I'm really interested in this because for me that was the best segment the whole show, because I was like, Sammy for me is the right person to break away from the Inner Circle. And I love the way they did it. I love the whole way it was like MJF was the guy who was obviously stirring up shit, standing behind the pal, like pretending. Like, you can imagine that at school, like MJF standing behind the bigger guy.
I think that's the beauty of MJF. Everybody knew someone like him.
You know, two pals. And basically, you know how you used to get pricks at school who used to wind up and just to see people fight and stuff like that? I can think of one direct. Well, I remember one directly who did this, and he used to do this all the time. He would just get our people to fight so he could enjoy and watch it.
Yeah.
That's what the whole thing with MJF felt like. It kind of felt like he's like, look, I've made these two fucking people fight.
So you can clearly see that his plan now is in motion to break up the Inner Circle. He's clearly doing that, and it'll end in a Jericho MJF thing with Jericho's face. You know, with Sammy Guevara, what's happened with him? So you're not aware of the backstage heat?
Well, no. I mean, I know about the whole... This is going back a while. I know about his comments on Sasha Banks, which did not do him any favours, but that's way back, so it's something different.
So what's happened is this, right? For everybody listening at home, if you've not already known, I will explain it to you. So the plans for Sammy now, you know how he said, like it was a week ago, he goes, you know, I need a change from this place. Do you remember him saying that backstage? Right.
Okay.
Right, to the, what's it, Marvez? He said that to him.
I thought it was his own gimmick, you know, so.
Right, well, he said, you know, I need a change from this place because they now that AEW have partnered with New Japan Impact and they're starting to do the whole crossover.
Right.
The plan was for Guevara to go, right, I'm done with the Inner Circle and I'm going to go to
New Japan
Impact.
What?
That's his response, right? Let's get there. So they wanted him to go to Impact and kind of be like, you know, here I am, I'm now on Impact. Right, still under, in real life, still under contract with AEW, but to go there and kind of raise the stakes of Impact.
I basically drag it, show, I give it some bloody talent.
Right. And to kind of, to work there somewhere to the point where, you know, you're going to bring Impact up and maybe get over even more in the process. Now, he was like, all right, okay. But apparently, the creative that was in place for him, he was like, nah. So he contacted Don Callis and was like, not big on this creative. Is there any way that we can kind of not do this? Because I'm not doing it. Give me something else. And then Don Callis and the head of Impact went to Tony Khan and was like, this is what we're having to deal with. And then Jericho phoned Don Callis, this is all real life, and said, ban him from Impact, all the future Impact tapings. This is a show of disrespect. And apparently Jericho and Tony Khan had got proper heated with Sammy Guevara, saying, you're trying to ruin our relationships that we're trying to build here. Do your fucking job. And as of yet, Sammy Guevara's not allowed to to attend Impact. So that's now, this has been reported by multiple sources and confirmed. It could be that Jericho and Khan are playing the dirt sheets to create a storyline, which I'm all for. But likelihood is he's got heat.
No, I don't think so at all. I think this is total. I mean, if you you'll know Chris Jericho. I mean, I've listened to his podcast and stuff like that. What comes clear from his podcast is he's very much an old school guy, and he kind of makes a point about, yep, you can get given, like the whole thing about he was a youngster and he was given the gimmick, and tonight you're going to be Cowboy Chris Jericho. And he said, I'm not going to be fucking Cowboy Chris Jericho. And the guy goes, that's right, you're not going to be Cowboy Chris Jericho because now you're going to be kissing Cowboy Chris Jericho. And Jericho was like, see, now I would do the same because that's what you've got to do as part of this business. Because it's not all about you. Mm-hmm. So I totally, it's a shame because, you know, it's the thing is, I actually agree with Sammy. If creative as shit, see this whole AEW trying, I know what they're trying to do, but Impact is such a fucking dumpster fire.
Remember, do you remember Impact used to be great? TNA?
Is this when it had like your Stings and Hulk Hogan?
Yes, just before.
I never watched it.
It was class.
With Kurt Angle swinging in and fucking like.
Yes, I am telling you, TNA used to be.
Jeff Jarrett.
I remember first watching TNA and going, this is what WWE used to be like. I remember watching the matches and going, I've not seen this kind of match in a long time because WWE kind of had this new style and you kind of got used to the WWE style. I remember watching TNA and that for me was when I discovered Bobby Roode, you know.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. I remember him when like short hair and, you know, from my...
Well, he was my TNA, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know? He was. He was the Shawn Michaels of TNA. He was their homegrown and rightfully so. Samoa Joe, Scott Steiner having his...
talents came from that place.
Mate, absolutely. The place grew unbelievable talent. And I think the biggest downfall was instead of keeping that moving, they brought in all the ex-WWE guys and instantly gave them championships, which told you subconsciously, WWE's better.
Mm, yeah.
Right? They fucked it. But it's never been able to kind of get that kind of caliber again. And I think it's a shame.
The problem is, I mean, it's the problem with TNA, right? It's I said bad creative for years, but it's grown such a bad reputation as well. What they really should do if they want to make it a success is they need to rebrand the place. It needs to get rid of Impact and all that, rebrand it, put it in tandem with Dynamite. And I know they've got New Japan as well. New Japan's got a better reputation than.
Unbelievable.
But. I can see what AEW is trying to do, and I can understand where Sammy was coming from, but in the wrestling industry, you need to box clever. Certainly not a career ender for him by the sounds of it, but...
I think for Sammy, he still's got a lot to do in AEW before he can kind of take any momentum over to Impact, and I think for him, it probably felt like, well, wait a minute, I'm going to Impact, and I'm doing shit stuff on Impact. Can I just stay on Dynamite? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, and I would agree with him. I mean, to be fair, AEW has a lot of fucking guys doing fuck all at the minute that they could throw over to Impact. Sammy Guevara's not the first one that comes to mind.
Send the Dark Order over to Impact.
Mate, send the Dark Order fucking anywhere.
Wait, see that point where Matt Hardy's talking what's his name? Adam Page. And then he walks around the corner and all these dafties wearing masks are just standing there. Oh, hey! And they're all there. Big bunch of misfits. Big stupid masks. And I'm not just like, hey.
Honestly, it's something that...
Just your presence alone makes me laugh, man.
If you go back a month or so, I hate the Dark Order.
Yeah.
But see now, like the first segment I'm looking forward to. And the fact that, like, I love Hangman Adam Page. I think he is the future star of that. And I was really kind of dubious of him being booked in this whole storyline with them, but it's turned out to be one of the best things they've done in ages in AEW.
Well, hey, we'll meet at the beer.
I'm still killing myself about the whole he said yes. Shit.
I think with them,
long may it continue.
They've accidentally found themselves.
They've become the oddities, as you would say.
they're far superior than the oddities. These guys can wrestle like really good. They've got everything. They've got the girl. They've got the beast. They've got the small talker. That's
what John fucking Silver. I love John Silver.
John Silver is the MVP of love him. Those guys. Absolutely.
His match against Orange Cassidy, I mean, this is before we knew Brody Lee passed, but his match against Orange Cassidy was probably one of the best that Orange Cassidy's had in the company so far. And ever since then, he's just went from strength to strength. He's
the leader of Dark Order.
He is, absolutely.
And I just look at my face. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Corner like that. They're just so good, right?
Yeah.
Just even just the way they all move. And they're like, The big masks with the stupid D.
It's so ridiculous, but it's so, that's what makes it so funny. I'm
telling you, see when the crowd are back and that
it's
music
gonna be
hits.
So over, so oh, over,
hell of over. I think. Do you know what? I think those will be the most highly rated shows of all wrestling shows. Is the first week where the crowd are allowed back.
Oh, it's not. You know what's going to be great about it? It's not just going to be the first week, because they're going to go from town to town, mm-hmm. and the reaction in every town is going to be exactly the same. It's going to be like this glorious year of wrestling, and I actually can't wait for it.
Who'd have thought that would be like the most shocking return would be the audience? Like, yeah,
banger. You did. You were like, "Banger, see ya." You did.
Banger,
you made that joke.
The audience. The again, audience.
You made that joke a couple of weeks ago, and I watched it back, and it went over my head at the time. But see, after I was watching it, I was like, "That's actually really funny." Wish I'd fucking laughed.
Sometimes.
Banger, could it be? Lights up.
Exactly. I think it'll be really cool to see the reaction of the wrestlers, because they'll get to find out truly where they stand. You know, Jericho will walk out and no one will be singing Judas, and they'll be like, what the fuck?
Actually, I wish that were true, but we know it's got, everybody's going to be singing fucking Judas.
To the point where Jericho will do that face he does where he's like, I'm a bad guy, but I'm loving this.
He doesn't, there's no point in hiding it. He's at that point.
I know. And do you know what else? Again, and I'm starting to see it, I called this, Jungle Boy's theme song has taken Jungle Boy to the next level. That song is going to be sung louder than Judas when he comes back, and it's going to put Jungle Boy in a Daniel Bryan status.
You think? Like right. Do you now, think?
People will be doing, oh, all the time.
I like Jungle Boy, I do, but I think he's in the Sammy Guevara thing. It's like definitely got potential, but it's still in the breeding grounds at the minute.
What's it? JR says you need at least 4 years to really know if someone's going to get over.
Absolutely. From AEW, do have, you know, it's crazy about AEW. For me, they've got more top guys than WWE do have at the minute, which is quite crazy. Let's count them. Jericho, still a top guy, no matter what you say. Moxley, Omega is a top guy. Mm-hmm. For me, Hangman Page is a top guy. And there's maybe one more. Cody, even though, you know, he is... if he was in the main event, you would buy it. You know, you would be like, I can understand why he's there. So that's five top guys. WWE have got McIntyre, Reigns. Edge. Anyway.
See if they brought Booker T back.
Fuck. He did look the shit. In the
Mate, he looks jacked.
Yeah, but he's always been jacked.
He's
problem
always...
is, everybody looks jacked now when they're compared to the gays. Like, Billy Gunn looks fucking jacked as fucking AEW because he everyone around him's fucking toty.
Toty. they're all children. One thing I noticed, did you see Ryan Nemeth's last few matches?
I have not. I'll be honest, I'm not familiar really with him. So,
you know who his brother is, right?
Ryan Nemeth? No. Ryan Nemeth.
So you've watched these matches and not put two and two together, even just the way he moves. So do you know who I'm talking about, Ryan Nemeth, when I say that?
I know the guy, but I'm just like, I'm not paying much attention. I will be now when you tell me who he is.
He was in NXT way at the start. Remember back when like Cassius Ohno first came out?
This is like real. I didn't watch it. I've never watched NXT. I'm that guy.
Right, so he was called Briley Pierce. He is Dolph Ziggler's younger brother.
Oh, wow.
He looks just like him and moves the exact same.
Never put it together.
Mate, next time you watch it, he moves exactly the same as Dolph. Looks just like Dolph.
That's not going to get him over with me, man.
Mate, and it's totally made me go, you need to change this shit. I'm watching his matching. Mate, here's the thing.
That's crazy. Now, you've mentioned it. It's obvious, but...
Mate, I've always known who Ryan Nemeth was.
No. Because he would never have known.
He was in WWE as Briley Pierce.
I can't believe I don't know. I can't believe I know more about the kayfabe side of shit than I actually do the backstage stuff, because it used to be the polar opposite.
And you know what Dolph Ziggler's name is, right? His real name?
No.
Nick Nemeth?
Nope. I knew he was Nicky in the Spirit Squad, so Nick. I could have guessed Nick, but it wouldn't have been Nemeth, so.
His Twitter handle is Nick Nemeth.
To be honest, I've never, this is obviously me with Dolph Ziggler, I've never really shown much of an interest in the guy because I think he's always been, he's not shit. Mm. He's just never been a guy who's, even when he won the title, like it was like, this isn't going to last long.
I still believe in him. The thing is, right, I think now after watching Ryan Nemeth matches, right, he and Dolph would be the rockers, mate. Because they wrestle the exact same. They look the same. You know what I mean? They're the same. I can't believe you watched that match and not went, this guy's a lot like Ziggler.
Mate, I never put two into the
game. Everything is the exact same, even the way he moves. See, there's a way, like, see, I like to think there are a few wrestlers in the industry where even if you're watching two people as a silhouette, you know, like create a wrestler and with that whole green cap, you would be able to tell. Like, you know straight away who this is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know who this is, right?
Yeah.
There are silhouettes that move where you could watch a shadow wrestle and go, I know who that is. One is Dolph Ziggler. He has a specific style and the way he moves, I would 100% tell you that's Dolph Ziggler. Ryan Nemeth is the exact same movement, is the exact same everything. And I thought, wow, that's going to do nothing for you here, pal. Right? It even has Hunk on his... He's got, like, bright pink trunks on that say Hunk on it.
Why would you want to be very similar to your brother's gimmick that's done him fucking no favours? Don't get me wrong. It's had him a job consistently in WWE for a number of years now, but that's not weird. Like, see, when I remember Punk saying that there's guys who are quite happy not to be in the card and all that. First name that came to my mind at the time was Dolph Ziggler. Mm. I always thought he was one of those guys. I used to think concussions held him back, but I just, nah.
Another team, by the way, there's a team that for me, I'm
too
like...
Too many factions, man.
No, but here's the thing. There's a tag team that I think, A, would be great in WWE, right? And there's talent there, and I could see them... I can see who the star is, and I could see the breakup, and I could see the one guy. They're a team called The Acclaimed.
Yes. Yep.
They've got something. Rapping's all right. They'll lose that, and the guy's good at rapping, but there's a presence. They're good in the ring together. They don't feel like two people that have been put together. They feel like you're watching a tag team.
I've thought that about numerous tag teams in AEW, but I'm still yet to be proved right with any of them. So I'll hold my I'll keep my powder dry and agreeing with you there. But I see there's definitely talent there. And I agree with you there, but there's so much. I thought the same with Private Party. I thought the same. I wouldn't say same with FTR. I mean, you just need to say the way they've been booked since they came in tells you everything you need to know about the AEW tag team division.
Yeah, and the Bucks.
The Bucks
kind of, do you know what's happening with them right now? Kind of feels like they're not even in the tag team division. They're just the Bucks.
Oh, they just show up for the opening or closing match every week.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Fuck them, mate. I preferred them as Generation Me and TNA. I take it you didn't watch them as Generation Me. Mate, they were really good as Generation Me. That's who they used to be.
When they weren't power crazy.
No, they were still working their way up the ranks. And they were good then. They stood out. They reminded me of the Hardy Boys.
The thing is, I've got nothing against... See, against personally, it's a box. I've got absolutely not, because the team would be nothing but good guys. But it's just the booking... Tag team division could really be something in AEW because you've got so many talented tag teams. You could actually, like you say, I think we've oversaturated it already. There's a tag team match every week. You need to make it more special.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. So Kenta
has
shown up in AEW and had a match that I thought, see that match between him and Kenny Omega versus Moxley and Archer? Take Archer out of that match.
He was
someone
like
else.
He seemed like an odd fit, didn't he?
Yeah, but here's something for you. That match was pay-per-view worthy.
AEW's kind of made themselves, because they've got less pay-per-views, they can get away with that more. Mm-hmm. I remember they had Cody Rhodes in a steel cage match against Wardlow 1 week, like a wee while back. And I mean, it was before we realised what Cody was, but they put pay-per-view event style matches in there. I mean, this was kind of like their beach break.
Yeah.
Because they had the whole, I know it wasn't this week, but they had the whole best man wedding ceremony thing last week as well.
Boring.
I had me longing for the days of Teddy Hart taking a heart attack at his own wedding when he went.
Teddy Long?
Remember Teddy Long's wedding?
You just said Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart or Teddy Long?
Do you know who Teddy Hart is?
Ted Hart's probably one of the thousands of brothers of Bret.
No, it's his little nephew. He was in WWE, but he got sacked.
See, this reminds me, right? There's a guy at my work called Jamie, right? And he's really funny when it comes to wrestling shit, right? And he talked about, we were talking about the Harts one day. This is like months back. And he pissed up. This is how far back it was. I was actually in work at the office. So this is probably last year before lockdown. And he goes, funny thing about the Harts, right? It's like, Bret Hart, not a good looking guy. But see, when you put him next to his brothers, he is the good looking guy. <That's>... You look at his brothers, it's fucking hilarious. And it's,
I think Owen looked dashing.
But if you look at the fucking pictures of his brothers, it's like, it's like Bret Hart's not a good looking guy, but they put him next to his brothers, and it's like, he is the good looking guy. In that family.
God damn, hell.
So that wedding had me long. That's a lot. I know there's been a lot of shithouse weddings in wrestling history, but it had me long for the Teddy Long days where Billy and Chuck, and
yeah,
of course, the iconic Test and Stephanie.
Oh God, but yeah, I think the match with Kent. I think Kenta is going to raise the bar. Or not? Kenta is. We are seeing Kenta and not Hideo Itami. How could you fuck him up, man? Did you notice that he's proper taken back his identity that CM Punk pretty much ripped off to the bone?
Yes.
Did you notice that, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, the whole go to sleep, that was all Kenta.
Yeah, it was like you couldn't avoid it. It was just so obvious, but fair play to him.
A lot of CM Punk's arsenal was taken from Kenta. Do you know that when he signed with WWE?
No, I looked it up afterwards because I watched it and I was like, this is very. Because I was like, what's the whole CM Punk deal here? Because I automatically did think that maybe he originated that. But what I liked about it, I was like, okay, here's a guy who is like many guys who've came into AEW, they've came here with something to prove. But what was different about this is it legitimately looked like he was going to, right, I'm going to do this the right way, rather than wear a Mickey Mouse shirt and fucking have a gimmick where you broke up my arcade. Or Stone Cold cosplay, you know?
Yeah.
So,
are you not high on John Moxley?
The thing is, right? I like him because I see him as a genuine top guy. I mentioned mm-hmm. him one of the top five guys. I think the Stone Cold cosplay thing, unfortunately, is quite accurate because he is very much trying to be the Stone Cold of the company. You know, they arrive, kicks.
Why do you think he does this?
I don't know. I don't know.
I find that's quite. I'm like, what are you doing when you're there? Yeah. Like that's.
I'm much more accepting of Moxley now that he's not got the belt because I think the belt was totally fucking wasted on him. Like I know they talked about, he brought legitimacy to the belt and maybe he did, but I just felt like he was not a guy who needed the belt. I think you put the belt on the guy who needs the belt.
Well, like, he now has the IGWP United States Champion.
Aye, they've got to. Give him something, I suppose, but...
Well, that was from Japan.
He doesn't need a belt. He doesn't fucking need a belt. He is legit. Well, mm-hmm. you know, he's got the perception of a star already. Yeah. He's like Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels didn't need to, in his comeback run, didn't need to hold a belt. Undertaker never needed to wear a fucking belt either because he was fucking Undertaker. John Moxley is not Undertaker, but he's John Moxley.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega is different because Kenny Omega is not really... had, I suppose, he's had the audience that John Moxley's had from WWE. People are going to say, oh, is it only because WWE makes you legit? And I'm going to say, at this early stage in AEW, kind of.
Yeah. And you know, see, Archer, I think they've ruined him.
He should have came.
It doesn't help that he comes in and does all this, sings his theme song into the camera. What is that?
I don't know. See, when he first came in with Jake Roberts and Jake Roberts was doing his promos and stuff, it worked because Jake Roberts is a good promo. He was a big silent guy, never spoke. He was just always kicking the fuck at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He should have came in, he should have ate Moxley alive and should have held the belt until the giant killer could beat him.
Yeah. Oh, for fuck. Speaking of Cody.
He's injured. Yeah.
What happened terrible. To him?
I'm not 100% sure. I just read up a little bit afterwards that he's injured, but he's probably not for a little while. I feel like I've got to apologize a little bit with Cody because we're so harsh on him, right? Like for his whole fucking eye and the Snoop Dogg and the fucking headset thing and all that. But I listened to him in Jericho's podcast, and I'm listening to him going, see, this guy here is a genuine wrestling guy, like a genuine like kid of the business. He's smart. He's a mark like ourselves. He knows what's good. So why can he not fucking see what he looks like? And that's what I was listening to him like in a legitimate podcast where he's not in a position. Don't get me wrong, he was putting himself over, and he mentioned that he's Dusty Rhodes' son about fucking 800 times. But did you know he's Dusty Rhodes' son? Did you know that?
No, I've never really.
Dustin's his brother as well.
Gold Dust.
Aye. Can you believe that? Anyway, makes the Stardust stuff makes total sense now. I'm being facetious for anybody who actually thinks I'm being serious there. But yeah, honestly, I want to like him. I really, really do. I think he's talented. I think he's a great promo, but he really just needs to. I think he needs to up
all the fireworks and the fucking Snoop Dogg song and
that, or he needs to up the self awareness.
Yeah.
So
one thing I'll say is now that he's injured. And he'll probably be off TV for about 4 weeks. You know that when he returns, he'll return and the lights will go down and flames will just appear in the ring and a helicopter will arrive and something. It'll be like the fucking, the return of Jesus Christ himself. He'll be lowered down to the ring and fucking, oh!
If you've not listened to the podcast, this is what he said. He said, the reason I came back with black hair is because I wanted to be like the death of Superman. And I was like, what, because he came back in a black fucking suit? Are you saying you're Superman, mate? you're totally right, though. It will be something to behold. He'll probably be the first wrestler to actually... You think going out was fucking dangerous? Looking parachuting into the ring and shit.
and as he's parachuting, he's got a fucking entourage. Every cunt that's like parachuting behind him just holding his... Like, rubbing his shoulders and that on his way down.
He fucking pulls the parachute and it's a giant picture of Dusty's face.
Oh, man. And the parachute then has pyro on it.
Parachute pyro.
Parachute pyro. Only Cody. Only Cody. Parachute pyro. Fucking jets flying past the open arena, man. You've just seen jets with like trails and all that in different colours and that. Cody must be back.
I told you the jokes of Britt Baker, that one, joking that Cody's that kid will have an action figure before her.
And it does. Have you seen it?
No,
mate. They do. No, did I not send you the picture?
No, I need to look this up.
It's an actual thing. I mean, I don't know if it's real, but it looked real.
Is that a son they're having? Yeah,
I don't know. I can't remember if it's a boy or girl. I wonder what they'll name it. Dusty. Virgil Runnels, perhaps. But I seen the picture and it was Brandy, their dog, and a child. I was like, of course.
It's got to be fake.
No, I don't think it was. I don't know.
I'm looking it up right now.
It looked very real, for sure.
Even just looking at his figure, just the face and his figure and all that, man, it's... Aye, but you know that Brandy Rhodes is like the rare one. She's like the hard to get wrestling figure from the first run.
It should be harder to get her because she shouldn't fucking have one. God dang. Does this conclude our AEW?
I suppose so. There's not a lot else happening other than what we've mentioned.
Mate, I only have 3 notes from SmackDown this week. SmackDown was quite stale. Man.
But... Yeah. Do you want to begin? And just talk what you've got there. Yeah.
So, Sami Zayn is great.
Is he?
Sami Zayn is. El Generico. He has the wrestling ability. The caliber is just like, you know, your Daniel Bryan's, Antonio Cesaro, you know, Claudio. These guys all hang and... Sami Zayn is brilliant, and I think his character work is great. I think he's great, and I think he's underappreciated how great he actually is.
Right, I disagree. I think he's shit. I'm in the whole him and Kevin Owens. I'm like, I don't care.
El Generico. I mean, Sami Zayn's such a stupid fucking name, but hey, you know,
he was only the most he was over was when he was in Canada and Bret Hart announced him as like the competitor against I can't remember who it was at the time, but that was it really.
I'm big on him, man. Seth Rollins is back. He came back to his Burn It Down theme song. Everybody liked it. Then he was like, I'm still the Messiah. And then everybody walked away and I was like, class. Then he started beating on Cesaro. Maybe this will be a moment where, you know, this will become a feud. And then eventually Seth Rollins will beat Cesaro and Cesaro has to join him as one of his minions. And once again, Cesaro will be somebody's sidekick.
Seth Rollins is another one. I mean, at least he's heel, I suppose.
Yeah, he's a better heel than a babyface.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care, to be honest, when it comes to Seth Rollins. I think the whole Monday Night Messiah gimmick was shit. I think that they had a good opportunity to change it while he was away.
Yeah.
He could have came back with a new gimmick. Not that there had to be anybody else other than Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins is made guy, I suppose, when you look at it. But
he came back though at the Royal Rumble with the Messiah music and then came back on SmackDown with a Burn It Down, yet was still in Messiah character.
It's weird. He's also facing, he's beating down Cesaro. That tells you exactly where they are with fucking Seth Rollins at the minute. Yeah. But people are going, oh, fucking, this is Cesaro's year. It's like fucking Liverpool winning the Premier League title. It's their fucking year every year, apparently. They did win it last year, funny enough.
Cesaro's year.
Cesaro's year, is it? Fuck.
My other note was simply that they shined a light on my hole with the whole interaction between the Nia Jax and who was it that... It was what's her name? The boss. I forget her name.
Sasha Banks.
Aye, could she be any more SmackDown looking?
Because she's got blue hair.
Blue everything. She wears everything blue. And as well, do you remember the time where you used to know you were watching SmackDown because it said SmackDown at the top of the screen? Now you know you're watching SmackDown because everything is lit blue. Did you look at backstage area? I was like,
it's a bit like that with Raw. There was everything in so many red. Lights. Right. Everything in Raw is red. And
they need all those lights. Yeah. Like, we know we're watching Raw. We tuned in to see it.
It's color-coded. Color-coded shows.
Come on, no. It's too much. You know what I mean? Let's go back to 2004, 2005. You knew what you were watching, right? And yeah, it seemed so real and gritty. But now it's just so bright, man. Calm it. We know we're watching Raw. You don't have to have everything red. Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest, it's not something I really took much of a notice, but I'm sorry it really annoyed you.
I just think, come on, we know we're watching Raw.
I mean, to be fair, at the minute, see SmackDown, I feel like it's the same conversation we're having every single week here, but the only reason worth watching SmackDown for at the minute is Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. This was a week where, I don't know how you feel about the whole Paul Heyman thing, but I'm honestly at the point where I'm like, Paul Heyman is helping Roman Reigns. I don't think we've been given enough credit. I think we've all been going, Roman Reigns is a great heel. He's finally, I think Paul Heyman actually does deserve a lot of credit. I really like the whole fact that Roman will not be in the Elimination Chamber. And it's not because of a technicality, it's just because of the fact it's like, it said he needed to be in a match on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, but is it fuck going to be in that Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, because...
We'll face him after they've been in the Elimination Chamber, and what the fuck are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and what I like about that, really, is the fact that now we don't have to go, oh, come on, both champions went in and came out as champions. Fuck off.
Aye, exactly.
I like that. And the one thing I don't like is how does Paul Heyman get to call the shots? He doesn't. Champion never gets to call the shots.
But what I liked about it is the fact that he was like, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to fucking do? Are you going to fire Roman Reigns? Because we know he's the only thing you fucking got in this show, whether you like him or not. I like the pure arrogance of it all. It's like he's not a snivelly. He's not. Roman Reigns is not like an edge. Like I call him an edge heel. Like the tall.
Opportunistic.
Opportunistic. Chicken shit. heel. He's not a chicken shit heel, but he will play the chicken shit game just because it's convenient for him to keep his belt. I like that. Yeah.
Do you know, I was thinking, do you know what would be a cool thing? And this kind of goes back to the McMahon-Helmsley era. How cool would it be? And I'm a big fan of this. Get rid of both world titles. Make one champion. And one champion can go from SmackDown to Raw, just like the women's tag titles can. Only then, right? Have one champion of the company that goes to Raw and SmackDown, right? Which means one other... like you've got, so someone's on Raw. The champ's now on Raw feuding with someone. It means that SmackDown's like, well, I'm the number one contender to go for him. No, I am. And that's the feud that goes on the other brand, right? Though the number one contender means something to be the number one contender. But how cool would it be if Vince McMahon kind of came down and was like, right, from now on, right, when you're the WWE champion, right, or you're the WWE champion, you're not, this title doesn't just come with being the champion, but you get creative control over the brand. It's like to an extent, right? So the champion, can you imagine? Oh, fuck, the Miz is the champion. What's Raw going to look like when Miz walks in and is like, motherfucker, I call the shots. Not only am I the champ, but I call the shots. You're going to play this game my way.
See, he's almost like, if you're champ, you're like GM.
Kind of, yeah. You get to the point where as long as Vince doesn't need to step in and everything goes out of control, you'll still have the GMs to be there and go like, I think you're abusing your power, kind of thing. But to have a champion, like, because Triple H and Stephanie... back in 2003.
Yeah, McMahon Helmsley, that's practically what that was.
And I remember thinking, what gave them the right to sit and make matches in that?
They could restart matches.
Right, was it because he's the champ? And it was really because Stephanie brought her 25%, right, of her company owning with Triple H. And because he was also the champion, they kind of just ran roughshod. And I thought, do you know, how interesting would it be that holding the title means, yes, I'm the champ, right? But the odds are now in my favor. So you could be a straight shooting champ like Drew. Yeah, I won this fair and square and I just want everybody to have a fair chance, right? Right? So he makes it so that everybody's getting a fair shot, right? But you got someone like Randy Orton who's like, motherfucker, you've got to win a tables match. Oh, and if you win that tables match, straight away you've got to win a ladder match against a different opponent, right? Every kind's like, yes, let's see this shit. You don't see that. And only someone that's a champion and doesn't want to lose his title will make those kind of stipulations. So it makes sense that these things exist, right?
It makes sense these things exist, but they never will.
Why? That would be class.
Because it sounds too different, Kevin.
I'm the champ. So guess what?
Yeah, man.
If you lose your number one contenders match tonight, you never get another WWE Championship match. As long as I'm the champion.
Oh, see, it writes himself into too many corners, though. You know what they're like.
No, but as long as I'm WWE champion. So when I get my arse kicked, you can go for another one, right? You know what I'm saying? And this is how I would go for it, right? Oh, I'm champ. So tonight, if you lose your number one contenders match, you obviously don't get the champ. You don't get to become the champ, but you do have to run around after Michael Cole for the next year. Right, things like this,
just shitty things,
yes, but entertaining, and that gives you a reason as to why it's being done. Come on, you don't see enough of that. It's just match. Oh, I got you last time, you get me this time. Oh, no, that's what we're seeing.
You need something different.
All that stuff. We're missing all that cool stuff.
The thing is, if they only had one champion at the minute, you know, it'd be Roman, it wouldn't be Drew.
And I'm fine with that, I'm absolutely fine with that because Drew would be in the chase.
Sometimes the chase is better than throw. I actually see, we've come to think about it. I mean, it was announced on SmackDown that Jey Uso will be in the Elimination Chamber match. Glad, and they made quite a big deal about it. It was kind of like he had to look about him as if to say, like, oh fuck, I'm gonna be fighting in limit. He probably will win it, which will be interesting.
I'd love that. Usos.
I think he's done himself a world of good, by the way. Like, he's at the point where if they said, oh, by the way, that's leading towards a match with him and Roman at Mania, I'd be like, that's fine. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Reigns versus Uso at WrestleMania, and I'd be all right with that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Reigns will. I think Edge. Reigns is going to be facing Edge at Mania, I think. Mm-hmm. Which leaves it quite interesting to, I think, who Drew is going to face. Because as I've said earlier, I think Drew will be in will be the champion at Mania.
I don't see him facing Sheamus at WrestleMania. No.
They're getting that done now. I think that's the reason why they're getting out of the road. But I think I think like Goldberg, I think there's something waiting for Drew because I can't see the obvious opponent in the minute. I think there might be something waiting in the wings there.
I think we'll start to see it very, very soon. I still truly believe that Dominic Mysterio needs to go on that heel run against his dad.
It's not happening, is it? It's too good. You go back a couple episodes, good. Listen to Kevin's storyline, and it sounds amazing. But
yeah, I mean, what better way to reignite the Eddie Guerrero triangle? You know, he would have been a better father. It's a shame the wrong guy died.
You know, come to think of what I'd love to see now, and I've just thought about it. It's not going to happen, but I'd love it. I'd love Drew to face Cena at WrestleMania. Could you imagine the two baby faces going at it? Drew versus Cena. You've been a great champ, but
17 times, baby.
Can you beat the champ?
17 times. Woo!
Mate, I could see it, but I think John Cena said already himself that he's not coming back to WrestleMania.
Has he said that, has he?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm actually quite all right with not having Cena. But do you know what? I'm a Cena guy.
John Cena will be at WrestleMania. I'm going to say that right now. John Cena will be at WrestleMania in some capacity. Probably. Whether it's a match, whether it's a segment, I fucking guarantee you he will be there.
Yeah. One thing that we've never kind of taken into account is we always go like this, oh, it'd be great to have that person there and that person there. We've seen wrestlers come into the ring and have matches after being out of the game for some time. Doesn't it go the way you want it to go?
Not always. Not always.
Most of the time, not.
Cena Undertaker was the one that really disappoints me to this day because it was 2.5 minutes or something like that. I was like, oh, could it be great? Could have been great. When you watch the Last Ride documentary, it makes sense why it was that long, but any road.
So I think that's pretty much what we've got for this week.
Well, I've got my test for you.
Oh,
yeah, make you nervous.
Have at it.
So how many? I think you're 4-0 at this point.
4-0, yeah.
4-0. So I think we've given you 4, and you've passed with flying colours. But this week I've got a real test for you. Now, same rules applies as normal. You're allowed to Google this person if you need to see an image or remind yourself.
Okay.
But you don't read into any more than that.
Right.
I have found a wrestler who I have honestly never heard of before. And he is called Mr. Hughes.
Mr. As in Hugh Morris, no?
Mr. Hughes, like H-U... I don't know. Mr. Hughes. Mr. H-U-G-H-E-S. It's late at night, guys. Mr. Hughes. WWE.
He was a WCW wrestler, though. I think it was a stint in WWF. He was a WCW wrestler.
So you don't remember this guy very well?
Mate, he was barely in WWF. I think he was there for, like, a coffee. I remember seeing him in WCW.
I've got an image of this guy holding Undertaker's urn. I thought you'd be like, oh, yeah, Mr. Hughes.
Nah,
obviously he was, mate,
you're lucky if you look it up, he'll have been in there for like two or three weeks maybe, but that you're talking this guy, eh? Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
He was a WCW wrestler, man.
All right, well, it says here that Mr. Hughes was a wrestler who was very intimidating. He even worked with Undertaker during his first year in WWE. It's got the picture of him holding the arm. It says he was in the company for 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
Wasn't he on telly for 6 years, mate?
He was a bodyguard for Triple H and Chris Jericho at different points, which I thought was really interesting.
Again, not someone that's used as an actual named talent.
You can't really tell me a lot.
No, I remember seeing him in WCW.
Right,
I don't recall. I think your mic has gone really low. Can you? Speak again.
Is that better?
A bit better, aye.
Right, okay.
Not mate.
We will give you another one then.
Chris Jericho, he was Chris Jericho's bodyguard in WCW, not WWE.
Right, okay. Well, I'm reading from a site here. So let's go for one that I was going to go for, but I thought, nah, you'll know that one too easily. So let's see if I'm right. The Goon.
The Goon. Aye, he was Attitude Era. The Goon. Of course. Who was it that played the Goon?
It's Bill Irwin.
Right. Bill, was he not Shyster Irwin?
I don't know.
At some point. Yeah, the goon. He was like the fucking hockey player. he didn't have a lot of time in WWE. I mind he got his ass kicked by Steve Blackman. But I'm sure as another wrestler, he was Shyster at some point. Shyster Irwin. I think he'd maybe look that up to see if he was at one point.
Bill Irwin.
Aye, but I think Shyster definitely comes to mind. I'm at it's Bill Shyster Irwin at some point before or after he was the goon. But I definitely heard the word Shyster used with him. Yes, I remember the goon. And he was one of those box of gimmicks guys.
Oh yeah, for sure. The goon.
The goon. Chris Jericho even dressed up as him once, as the actual goon.
Chris Jericho would have loved to have been the goon.
Aye, I remember him, the goon.
Canadian gimmick possible.
Not a big presence in the WWE, but he's one of those laughed at, you know, the goon, the fucking, we've got the goon, Weasel Dooley, Vampiro Purple, all these guys, kind of just silly wee in you comes. One guy that kind of came in with that was Hardcore Holly, Sparkplug. What was his name?
Sparkplug Holly, we talked about this. Blew my mind.
What was his other
race
name?
Race car driver.
It was Sparky Plug, but he got given another name. It wasn't Bob Sparkplug Holly, it was something Sparkplug. But it was a silly, silly name. Do you know that Triple H was originally going to be called Reginald? Reginald
no,
something.
No.
Yeah, Reginald something. And he was like, really? Reginald something. And then they changed it to Terrorizing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Terrorizing.
I love how Triple H still throws like shade at what's his face? What's the wrestler that trained him?
Killer Kowalski.
Killer Kowalski. He's like, yeah. So Killer Kowalski said I was going to be his massive star and then gave me fucking the name Terror Rising. See, when he throws shade, Triple H is like one of the best guys at throwing shade.
Terror Rising.
So harsh. He's like, he's such a bastard. I watched a video recently of him and it was like basically him and Stephanie going room with two people round WrestleMania Access, and he's just like totally not fucking interested in what's going on at all. Have you seen that video?
Is this the one where he buries Paige?
No. I'm not kidding you. It was fucking hilarious because it's just like, imagine you and your wife, right, in a shopping centre and you can't be arsed. So Stephanie McMahon's like, look at all these t-shirts and stuff like that. And Triple H is just like fucking standing there.
Oh, does she come down as his entrance? And he's just like, well.
No. I'm telling you, man. It's just them in normal real life. And Triple H, at one point, Stephanie McMahon's away doing something else. And these two people are trying to talk to Triple H, but he's like, he's ignoring them because he's too busy looking for his wife. He's just like that. And it's like, got the wee captions coming out going, where my fucking wife going?
Nice. You'll need to send that to me, Annie. I need to watch
Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. What I was also thinking, what we could do right now is if nobody makes a suggestion, me and you could maybe give our shout out for our suggestion pay-per-views right now, if you've got anything in mind, because I've got something in mind. If you had anything you want to throw out there,
I will always throw out Royal Rumble 2000.
All right, okay. I'm going to go a bit left field, right? So you choose Royal Rumble 2000, which is probably going to win, given what I'm going to give you. I'm going to go for Survivor Series 2005.
2005?
Yeah, man. A really random pay-per-view, but one that I remember for whatever reason. Match list includes Triple H and Ric Flair in a last man standing match.
This was when they were getting this is just before Evolution.
I think it's maybe just after, I don't know. But it's got the traditional, is it before?
This is before, 100% before.
Right, well, it'll be interesting. I mean, so that's what I'm going to go. It's also got Booker T versus Stevie Richards. John Cena and Kurt Angle, Stevie Richards, and of course it's got the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination. But when you look at the people involved, you've got HBK, Kane when he was decent, Orton, Mysterio, Batista, Bobby Lashley, JBL. There's lots of people involved who are high profile. It's a good card. So that'll be my choice, but it's definitely not going to lose.
we'll give them a couple of days, and if no one suggests something, then we'll put this to a poll, and this will be an upcoming Wrestling Ramble watch along. No, well, we're not going to watch along. We should do one of them at some point in the near future. Wink, wink. So for anybody listening, check out in the description. Watch it. Let us know what you think. Also, make sure to hit that subscribe button. And of course, you can go ahead and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all the cool stuff. And let us know what you want to catch us watching. We'll be back again next week with some more Wrestling Ramble. Todd, is there anything you'd like to say to the fine folks before we...
I would just say, before you make your vote on the show that we're going to review, just think for a minute and just have a look at the matches in Royal Rumble 2000 and just think to yourself, how many times have I seen that before?
He's like, please, pick mine.
Please. Survivor Series 2005. Don't make it a humping.
We could do both. We could do both. So for this week, that has been close to 2 hours, and we hope you stayed along and watched all of it, which you did. Of course you did. If not, you at least listened to it. Make sure you give us a little bit of a review on the Apple podcasts and whatnot, and maybe we'll chart and we'll make lots of money and we can go to WrestleMania and bring you guys with us. And on that note, see you guys next week.
See ya. Thank you.